Good morning. And as many of the times when the apostles would start a letter, they would say, "Grace, mercy, and peace to you through Jesus Christ our Lord." Thank you. I appreciate it. The reason they have that greeting, many times Paul would say, "Grace to you and peace." But there are other times where he said, "Grace, mercy, and peace be to you." We're going to talk a lot about that, about mercy. We've had some very difficult texts that Pastor Rick has had to preach. And it's my turn, and I get to talk about mercy. Yay! Yay! What's that? Yeah, it is. At the end, it has a tough spot to it. So there's still some law to it. Okay. First of all, before we start, I wanted to mention that Wednesday night was absolutely awesome, wasn't it? Thanksgiving Eve. I don't even know how to describe it, but if you were here, you know. And we both talked about this, Pastor Rick and I both, right in the middle of the sermon. Something happened, and Pastor Rick could feel it, I could feel it. I was like, what just happened? It was crazy, the traffic was horrendous getting over here. It was just nuts, you know. The craziness of holidays can bring the worst out of people, not just the best. Would you agree with that? And the traffic, what is going on with the traffic around? It's just been insane. So, well, I'm blaming on the snowbirds. I didn't bring that up. I didn't say it. Long different side. I didn't want to have a battle with snowbirds here, but anyway, but there are some erratic drivers, and I don't really think they're the snowbirds, but people just in a hurry and rushing around for no reason. But anyway, having said all that, it was kind of unsettling getting over here. And even the first part of the service, I'm saying, okay, let's just forget all that happened to get here. I'm here now, and just be in the moment. And then in the middle of the sermon, I think what Pastor Rick was talking about, the generosity that King David had, and how his heart was so filled with the love of God. I think when he started mentioning that, all of a sudden something broke through in me. I thought, whoa. And it was extravagant, the gifts that David gave to the Lord. He loved God so much because what was he called? A man after God's own heart, right? And when Pastor Rick mentioned that, it was just like the rest of us had this anointing to it and the amazing presence of God, not to mention all the pies. I found the secret to a pie fellowship to stay in the kitchen part, because then I just went from one pie to the other. Did you notice that? No, let's try this pie. So anyway, it was awesome. So thank you to all of you that brought your pies, and most importantly, yourselves, to God's house. Just go more pie. Yay. Okay. So that was Thanksgiving Eve. And today's kind of different, because usually the Sunday after Thanksgiving is almost always the first Sunday in Advent, but not so this year, because we have a real short week, the fourth week of Christmas, of Advent, before Christmas, like 2 days, and then it's Christmas. So anyway, this is the last Sunday of the church year. It's called Christ the King Sunday, where we talk about the end of life, the end of the world, and many of the parables in Matthew are used for the old-time lectionary, and this is, I'm not sure if it's one of them, but it does talk of this text of the king in a parable, the king coming to settle accounts at the end of time and settling it up. And that time comes, right? Whether it be we get those bills that be coming after we spent one for Black Friday, and the bills come later, right? Here come the bills. Not fun, right? But there does need to be a time when we pay those bills, right? And we can't just say, oh, well, this credit card stuff, this is wonderful. Just charge it on Friday, and then later, now I got to pay it, with interest, mucho interest sometimes. That interest is not good, right? It's not good. So anyway, here we are with a parable, and a parable, as we said before, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And many times, Jesus, as the master teacher, would bring a point across that was related to something identifiable in their lives, like farming, agriculture, fishing, all kinds of things like that. And here, it's a relationship with a king. But what started all this? Well, it all started with the message from last Sunday about what happens if somebody sins against you. You go to that person, right? And if they repent, you forgive them. And then, so Peter started thinking about that, as only Peter can do. And Peter, the spokesman, got up, and he says, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Peter thought he was being very generous in giving forgiveness out. Because the Jewish law talked about 3 strikes, you're out. Forgive a person 3 times. And that's it. No mas. No more. 3 times, that's it. One thing, there's a pet peeve of mine of a phrase that people use, is the God of second chances. And Shannon, we've talked about that. If it's only second chances, I'm in big trouble. Because I've run that out a long time ago, the second chance. He gives a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, an amazing amount of opportunities to receive forgiveness, right? And we'll talk about every day, every minute we need it. I mean, come on, start adding that up, right? And so Peter was using the calculator and adding up. Okay, well, that's okay. All right, so three times that person. And I'll really impress my fellow disciples and Jesus. Because he always wanted to look good, right? Peter did. Hey, I forgive them seven times. Is that enough? And what did Jesus say? Get your calculator out, do some multiplication, not adding, but 70 times 7. How much is that, Daryl? That's right, we were talking about that earlier, weren't we? So, does that mean then, let's see, 481, 482, 483, 484, 85, 86, 88, 89, 90, that's it! No more forgiveness for you, no more mercy for you, you're out. That doesn't mean that, right? And we say, that's not prayer. Come on. But, as we'll talk about here, what about God's grace? Does he stop and say, okay, no more for you? He doesn't say that. We'll get into that. So anyway, Peter's trying to be the super pious Peter. He say, if I forgive seven times, that's pretty good, isn't it? No. Jesus said, I did not say to you seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven, actually. He says, therefore, the kingdom of God may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed 10,000 talents. Now, a talent was a measurement in those days, and it could be either of gold or silver, and it's similar to what Pastor Rick talked about on Thanksgiving Eve. But here, we don't know if they're talking about gold or silver, so that depends on how much the value is. But we know for sure it was worth millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. This guy owed something he could not pay. A debt that's... Can you imagine if you had a bill? Some people have had this. They have a bill that was a mistake on it, and you get a telephone bill that says, like, $33,000, your bill for the month. Wait a minute. That can't be right. You go, well, I hope not. And then they say, oh, I'm sorry, it's a computer error. We'll get that fixed right away. It's impossible to pay. This guy had a debt that was absolutely, totally impossible to pay. Millions and millions of dollars. Doesn't say how he racked up that kind of debt, but he obviously did. He did. He had it, and he was totally unable to pay. Excuse me. He says, when he began to settle, one was brought to him owed 10,000 talents, and since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment he made. In those days, they have debtor's jail, where people go to jail because of debt, and their family would be involved too. He said, well, that's not fair. That's part of the whole thing of responsibility to the family, and the family bears the brunt of it. It's not their fault, but they have the consequences, unfortunately, of bad decisions made by the parents or the father or whatever that got them in trouble. And so the king comes, and he's settling accounts with everybody, and says, but the servant fell on his knees imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. He doesn't have the audacity to say, well, just wipe this debt clean. Millions of dollars, and just act like nothing happened. A lot of times when I listen to sports radio, they have these stupid commercials about people. It makes me wonder about the people who listen to radio, but about these people who owe all this money to the IRS and how to get out of paying. I feel like saying, just pay your taxes like everybody else. When I hear these commercials over and over again, you don't have to pay all this. I go, yes, you do. You know? But anyway, it's how to get out of this and how to get out of that. And isn't that the way this world today? How to get out of stuff. What happened to responsible? I'd like to have a commercial. Somebody says, be responsible. Pay Uncle Sam. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, right? Well, anyway, this man, he said, I'm going to try this. If I have to pay just a little bit all the time, each time, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. That would take forever. It would be totally impossible. So first of all, in this lesson, we have the enormity of the debt is the first point to make here. If I had fill in the blank for numbers, it'd be blank, the blank of debt, the enormity of the huge size of the debt. Unable to pay for it. What is the point here? This isn't about financial management today. It's about the debt of our sin. right? One thing, preaching and reading through the Gospel of Matthew, there's no fluff, and it's not all grace and mercy, is it? I mean, there's some tough passages in Matthew. There's quite a few of them there. And it was called, as Pastor Rick mentioned, the book about discipleship. It's about following Jesus Christ, not just receiving His grace and living any way you want to, but there's a call to bearing our own cross, following Jesus, and counting the cost to be a disciple of Jesus, right? So there's all that involved. But one thing it reminds me of is that God takes sin very, very seriously. Maybe we don't. Certainly the world doesn't, and some churches don't, but it's a big deal to God. It's a big deal to the point where people lose their eternal life because of the sin that separates us from God. God is so holy and so just that He can't allow sin in His sight unless there's a payment for it. And so the whole thing is the debt we can't pay. We cannot go to God and say, oh, here, let me just help you out with that. Can I just take care of that? He says, no, put your wallet away. Your life, your wallet, your good deeds, as wonderful as you think they are, do not measure up to the enormity of a pile of sins. Imagine if we put a rock in a pile for every time we bought something wrong, did something wrong, or didn't do the good thing, and we neglected to do it. Donna's a little shaking her head. For those of us who gotten old, that's a big, big pile, right? But the world doesn't think of sin in that way. It really doesn't. It just doesn't. And it's a big deal. And so when churches just kind of water that away and just water it down, like, yeah, whatever. No, it's not a whatever. It's a big deal to God. So we have to look at that first of all. And Luther talks about the fact that somebody can preach well enough where they do not take away from the seriousness of sin of God being so holy and just, and preach that in all the severity and truthfulness of God being holy and just, and hating sin. On the other hand, not taking away from the sweetness of the gospel, which says the debt is paid completely. And both are true about God, His extravagant mercy, as well as His righteousness and holiness. And so, the debt is huge for all of us. You say, well, I'm not as bad as that person. It doesn't matter, because what is the measuring stick? It's perfection. So unless we are perfect, we can't say, well, I tried to be a good person. I didn't kill anybody, and I didn't murder anybody. I didn't do this and that. God says, yeah, that's true. Now, let's look at what you did. And He pulls out the list. It's like the elf on the shelf, you know, as a tool for parents to try to get their kids to be good. You have that elf there, and say, now you better be good. That elf watching you the whole time. I can't be here all the time, but my ever-ready helper here, the elf, he's the one you got to look out for. And that's sort of an accounting. But God sees everything we do and knows our heart. He knows everything about us. And we start adding up our sins in relationship to not other people. It's not the measuring stick. It's God's holiness. We all fall short of the glory of God. All of us. So until that sinks in, we go, ah, big deal. Yeah, there's a Savior. So what? The big so what? It means heaven or hell, right? So the enormity of the debt is huge. We can't pay the debt for our sins. We can't do it, right? We just can't do it. That's the first point. The second point, though, is the enormity, the huge generosity of God here. Because in this story, what happens to the king? Does he say, I don't care, pay up right now. Nope. He hears the guy say, have patience with me and I'll pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Millions of dollars. He said, okay, we're writing that off. How do you think that man felt when he heard that at first? Wow, I wasn't even thinking about that, about wiping out the debt. I was just thinking, well, just have patience with me, and eventually I'll pay it off. And he's going, do you mean I can just tear up those bank statements or those bills at home, and it's all paid? Can you imagine the relief of not worrying about millions of dollars? Have you ever got yourself in credit card debt? And you go, how am I ever going to get out of it? And then the relief, when you finally make that last payment, and you're debt-free, like Ricky talks about, and that happens, it feels so good to get rid of that debt. Oh my goodness, it's like, oh. And because the burden is so strong, isn't it? Like, oh no, the bills are coming, that due date's coming up, I'm dreading it. How am I going to pay this? And then when it's released totally, completely, 100%, that's awesome. So, we thank God for that. Because what did Jesus do? He says, it is finished. Paid in full. Telestai is what Jesus, it's a Greek word and means paid in full. Completely accomplished. So when Jesus sees us, does he see our sin? No. He sees us as saints, totally washed by the blood of Jesus, 100% forgiveness, totally free, total mercy. The word for mercy in the original language is to feel it in your gut. Literally means feel it in your gut. God's so moved by the predicament and the problems of our lives and what we've done, he says, oh, he's moved out of pity for us. He knows we're of God. He knows what we're made of. He knows our bent to sin over and over again. And he looks at us sort of like little kids falling in a mud puddle. And the parents go, oh, come on here, I'll clean you up. And look at the mess you made yourself. But out of pity, seeing what they've done to their lives. Jesus sees what we've done to our lives. Whether it be addictions or whatever. He says, oh, look what you've done. Come on. Here, I'll clean you up. Out of pity. And that pity never stops. That compassion. Our compassion, I got a limit to my compassion. It's called compassion fatigue. As a social worker, sometimes it gets to the point where, okay. And that happened Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, with all the traffic I was talking about. I was driving over the valley, and this one mom, who we had talked about before, she said, I didn't get my turkey for Thanksgiving. I said, okay, I didn't know you wanted a turkey for Thanksgiving. It's kind of late. It's like Wednesday afternoon. And you want a turkey for Thanksgiving. I'm thinking, even if we got her one, it'd be frozen. Wouldn't be a fresh turkey. And I'm going, I didn't answer. I just said, okay, it's time to go. We got our meeting because I got to go to church. I sort of felt like the Levi and the Good Samaritan story passing by the other side. And then God says, oh, wait a minute. Here's a chance for you to represent me, isn't it? Why don't you go try to get a turkey? And I said, God, it's Wednesday. I'm not going to find a turkey. It's going to be frozen. I got to come back here. She lives in Youngtown. No, I don't want to, God. That didn't work so well. I tried turning on the radio. That didn't work. Okay. All right. And so I went to my next door buys, and there is a fresh turkey on Wednesday. I couldn't believe it. Because earlier there were no fresh turkeys. There was a fresh turkey. So I get it, and I text the mom, and I said, oh, I found a fresh turkey. I'll be right back to Youngtown and fight the traffic. And as I did it, I felt so good. I really felt good doing it. And I go, you know, this feels really good to do something for somebody else, right? And they don't deserve it. I go, well, do I deserve it? Well, God does for me, and God totally changed my attitude. At least till I fought the traffic to come to church. And then he changed it again, right in the middle of Patrick's sermon. So the point is, God wants to use us and to have mercy on other people. Do people deserve our love all the time? Should they deserve it all the time? Should we only do it when people deserve our love and mercy? No. Because God doesn't just say, okay, that's enough for you. That's it, man. There's no more grace for you. He doesn't do that. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It never ends, his compassion and his love and his forgiveness. So we talk about grace, which is unmerited favor, but mercy is the compassion God has. It's what moves him to offer the grace in the first place. His compassion and love are beyond measure. So that's the good news of the gospel. This is gospel. It's good news. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life forever and ever and be forgiven. And as Pastor Rick said, there's no sin so great that cannot be forgiven. The other couple weeks ago on the Slow Break Cover, we had all those songs about grace. And it was wonderful. It was like a grace feast. With all these songs saying, there's no sin. You can't go so far away from God that you can't come back. I forget the name of that song, but it was, yeah, never too far gone. We're never so far away from God that we can't come back to him. And that's the grace and the goodness and the mercy that God has. He's moved by our condition, and he says, I'll do something. And what does he do? He sends Jesus, and that cross reminds us that it's what Jesus did for us and does for us, right? So that's the good news. So in the story, the guy going, yahoo, I can't wait to tell my wife and kids we're out of debt completely, millions of dollars wiped off. He says, well, I can take care of now. I can not worry about that anymore. And how long did that attitude of gratefulness last? Like a lot of us, not very long. our human nature is something else. We can be flying high and doing great, and then, boom, something happens, right? It can be traffic. It can be other people in our lives that just kind of get on our one last nerve, you know, and we just kind of lose it. It doesn't take much. And with the holiday spirit of, I went to Black Friday. I don't know why I did. I know. We went to Santan Valley for Thanksgiving, had a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner, and I'm driving by Kohl's on the way home. I go, well, there's something I wanted, a couple things I wanted to get, and I go, it can't be that bad. This is Thursday night. This is Thanksgiving. It's not even Black Friday, because I don't go to Black Friday. Thursday, yeah, I'll just try this. I got in there, and there wasn't even a place to hardly stand in the aisles of Kohl's. I knew there was a jacket I wanted to get, and I knew exactly where to go, but I couldn't get there because there's so many people. I go, look, my jacket's there. Great. I was getting ready, man. Just had a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner, and thought, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. It's not worth it to save a few dollars going through that hassle. So even Thanksgiving night, like, no more. No. So I got in my car, I said, I'm out of here. But the people, the look in their eyes, it's like, to save dollars, the greed, and everybody else, get out of my way. You're not important. Get out of the way of my parking place. Get out of the way of my aisle. This is my aisle. And, this is insane. This is absolutely nuts. So we can lose that compassion. And the guy in our story, he lost his compassion and his gratefulness real quick. Because he remembers somebody owes him a few dollars. Now, he's just been forgiven millions and millions of dollars. He goes, oh, yeah, that reminds me there. There's Alex there. Alex owes me $17.50. And he kept saying, oh, yeah, I'll pay that. And you know what? I think he got paid last week. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get Alex. You know, I deserve that. I deserve it. And so in our story, it's not just that he went up to Alex's payment that money right now. And I'm not going to do it, obviously, because he's a former boxer. He chokes him. He grabs him by the throat. Pay me. It's $17.50 now, and I want it now. He said, be patient with me, I'll do it. And he throws him to the ground. He said, no, I want it now. I want it now. I want my money. I want it now, 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 now. He's just been forgiven all that debt. And what kind of attitude is that? Well, the king's workers, this guy's co-workers heard about it. They went straight to the king and said, guess what this guy did to Alex? He just owed him $17. And he grabbed him by the throat, almost killed the guy. He's got marks on his neck because of this. And the king was not too happy about that, right? The king says, what? I forgave him millions of dollars and $17.50 for that amount. He goes and does this. Just bring that man to me right now. This king was furious. And what happened to the guy? He says, all right, guess what? You're going to jail. And not just going to debtor's jail. You're going to be tortured so that every penny's paid for. Because you've refused to forgive somebody else. And so the theme of the message is the bridge we must all cross. We're all separated from God. And every single one of us is over here, and God's over there. Because of our sin, it separates all of us. And there's a bridge from us to God. There's only one bridge, right? In St. Louis, they have all these bridges. You can try this one, you can try that one. Here, there's one bridge, and it's Jesus. And His cross is the bridge we must cross. And it's the cross of forgiveness, right? And we cross that bridge and everything's fine. But what happens if in our spite we get, you know what? I refuse to forgive the people. God, you have no idea how much it hurts to not be forgiven. You have no idea how much it hurts, how much that hurt, that person's hurt me. God says, yes, I do. And as we do that, we get off the bridge we have to cross for forgiveness. And we get off and even burn the bridge. There's a story, I think some of you heard about that. We talked about, I think, last Sunday Bible class. This guy got so enraged about bugs and pests in his house, he took a flamethrower to his own house. He said, I'm going to get those bugs. Yeah, I got you. Uh-oh, there goes my house. And that really happened. I can't imagine it, but it really did, right? Like, that's not good thinking there, right? So he burned burned his own house down. What's the matter with you? But that's what our negative emotions can do to us. I see it as a social worker all the time. People go nuts in rage and resentment, and they ruin their own lives and the lives of others just to make sure I'm right and you're wrong and you hurt me and I want you to know about that. There's so much arthritis. Many illnesses are caused by evil and resentment and bitterness and a bitter heart. And God says, what does he say? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And in the story, it says, unless we forgive people in our heart, we won't be forgiven. So that very bridge we're on, that we have to get on, we burn that very bridge, our own way to cross over to God, if we refuse to forgive other people. He said, yeah, but you don't understand how much that hurt. And it can be difficult. And sometimes it's a process. Somebody's been abused, abandoned. Doesn't mean to be codependent and enabling. It doesn't mean that. Oh, that's okay. They don't say that's okay. It's awful. But it's forgiven because Jesus forgives us. We can forgive others. One of the things that gets me, every time there's a tragedy, a shooting, and there are Christians involved that are victims, and the Christians talk about forgiving the very people that shot and killed their own kids or whatever, and CNN and some of the other liberal media are just blown away. They have no clue how anybody could possibly do that. Not enough to repent and come to Christ, but they are moved. They just can't believe. Like, why would somebody, how could somebody possibly do that? Well, we know the answer. It's God's supernaturally great grace and mercy that they have received that allows them, and only through Jesus, empowers them to forgive such a terrible thing. We think, I couldn't do that, and maybe on our own power we couldn't. But in Christ we can. Because Jesus knows how much hurt it causes us. And I've seen it in some of my relatives. When they get so enraged and embittered in their heart, it ruins their own lives. Their health, their spiritual life, their emotional life, everything gets ruined because they just say, I'm not going to forgive that person. It's the last thing I do. Well, it might be the last thing you do if you do that, because it just burns and it's poison in our heart. So we, as that song says, anytime I go to the Phoenix Children's Hospital to visit a client, I hear it, let it go, let it go. Every TV seems to be on that movie Frozen, everywhere I go. And so I leave the hospital singing, let it go. But it's not a bad song. It's not a bad thing to do, right? Just let it go. Because Jesus, he forgives us and releases all the debt of all our sins. We remember how much we're forgiven. And it's not worth it, is it? Just let it go. So when that guy cuts you off in traffic, let it go, right? Let him go. Relatives, don't say it. Relatives, when they're finally gone for the holiday and they've said some things or maybe been not so good, let it go. We need to let all that go, so we can have that fresh relationship with God and with others, right? Otherwise, there's blockages, and it's just not good. It is not good. So, as we look at this text, we don't want to have it end the way it ended with this guy, right? This is so also my Heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Ouch. That's scary, right? We can lose our forgiveness if we refuse to forgive others. But it's a process, and we need God's help. So, as we look at not just forgiveness and not just grace, but mercy, how merciful are you to other people? Not just in terms of debt or people who've sinned against you, just in general, how moved to compassion are you for the plight of other people? Because there's a lot of hurt around, and we can just shut it off and say, I don't want to hear about it, I don't want to talk about it, just too much. There's so much hurt. There's so much around us. Are we moved to compassion? Are we moved to mercy, to care, to even care about people? So it's their fault. They made bad decisions. That's why they're in that position. Is that what God does to us? So what's your own fault? Get yourself out. God doesn't do that to us, right? And I think he's calling, he's calling us in the neighborhood we live in. There's a lot of need for mercy, a lot of need for hope. We have a lot of broken people around us, broken children around us. And it's everywhere. It's like broken toys everywhere you see in a house. Remember one time we went through this phase where everybody's breaking toys. I was stepping on toys when my kids were little, and it was just like, what's going on around here? Just, it was like, everything's broken. And then the fridge went, and then the air conditioning went. It's like, can anything work nowadays? And sometimes we feel that way maybe about the families and the people all around us. There's so much brokenness around us. It gets overwhelming. But Jesus says, I've got you there in that place to be my mercy giver, to give mercy to people, and live it. Not just preach, we need to live it. There's so much need for mercy. And God needs to fill up our hearts so that we fill it in our gut with the people around us, the hurt and the devastation and the brokenness and the hopelessness all around us. Because we know the answer, right? we know we have the hope. And there's so many people that need it, and they're going to be nasty to us sometimes because they're so hurt and broken like a snarling dog. They're going to bite and bark. But like my neighbor, sometimes they soften up. And it's just amazing when you see that softening up. It's like the Grinch has this conversion experience, you know, and has this heart of gold, you know. And we need to see Jesus in people, and we need to be Jesus to people who don't deserve it, that are just a mess. Have we always been nice and sweet and loving? And sometimes we still aren't. But we need mercy, and we get it, and we need to give mercy. And it's just heartbreaking what's around us everywhere. And it's so easy if we're real regimented and analytical and sort of like the older brother and the prodigal son who does everything right. It feels like it's not fair that it's the guy who went and lost all his inheritance, went partying to Las Vegas, comes back a mess, and then he party because he's come back. And what about me? I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Well, we have to watch out for that attitude in our own hearts, right? I know I do. Because we all receive forgiveness and mercy. So there's a lot of need for mercy. Just in closing, I went out to eat last Saturday at a really neat place, awesome smoked meat there, great. And my waiter was real perky, very nice, and real outgoing, and her name was Mercy. I go, guess what, I'm going to talk about you in my church pretty soon. She said, what? Yeah, I'm going to talk about you, I'm going to talk all about you. Oh, the whole sermon's going to be about you. She said, what are you talking about? You met me, what a weirdo. I said, well, I'm a pastor. And I'm going to talk about mercy. She says, well, I go to Grand Canyon University. And my major is biblical studies, and my minor is business administration. I'm also doing a thing in psychology, a social work. I said, well, that's interesting. That kind of ties, that's exactly what I do. And it is real good to talk about mercy. What if we had that as our name? We're known, personified as mercy personified. That wherever we go, say, well, here, I want to help you. I'm going to love you. I want to care for you. There's so much need, especially in the holiday spirit all around us, of having mercy and showing mercy and giving mercy to others. So may the Lord help us do that in this holiday, holy season, which sometimes is not so holy and not so holly and jolly. Bring mercy to people that really need it. And to that end, we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, your soul full of mercy. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Lord, you're so merciful. Lord Jesus, you're so merciful. When you saw people, heard them cry out to you, they were full of leprosy and death and decay and disease. They cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And your word says you're so moved out of compassion and mercy, you would heal people all around you. And you still heal today. They cry out, have mercy on us, poor sinners that we all are. We all have fallen short. And we've all blown it, but we've all received your amazing mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord. Move us to show that same mercy and forgiveness and grace to others that need it. And when we don't feel like it, like I didn't feel like doing that turkey thing, Lord, help us to change our attitude, change our, that we're not moved by our emotions, that it might be full of anxiety or being rushed, but rather be moved deeper in our souls. By your mercy and your love and your grace and your power, your enabling grace that allows us to do what we don't feel like doing at the moment. But Lord, change us to be mercy givers all around us. We need to be peacemakers and lovers and mercy givers. Help us to give mercy and show us how we can show Jesus to others. Lord, in your mercy,